In season and out of season. It's a blessing to be here, honored, and do be in prayer for our pastor that's not feeling well this morning. With us, things are running pretty well. Miss Sharon's got a little things that the Lord's touching her with. She's developed tennis elbow, even though she doesn't play tennis. Some type of tendonitis there. And she's got a little place in her back and her sacroiliac. I ask y'all to pray for those. God's already touching and healing, but I ask that you continue to, if you would, please pray for her, that God would touch these places and get her back to being able to be as flexible in the classrooms as she used to be with her running around and giving taters and her illustrations and things like that. Hand movements is just hindering a little bit. So I ask that you pray with that. The ministry is, we've got a couple blessings that we had. The Cove Creek Bible Club at Cove Creek Elementary School out at Green Valley. We've had some interest there for a church to start a Bible Club out at Green Valley Elementary. And also, I just recently, over the past couple weeks, had a email from one of our supporting churches down in Clinton, North Carolina. And if you don't know where that is, it's just, if you go, it's about halfway between Fayetteville and the coast of Carolina. It's right in the middle there, but one of our supporting churches has got an interest in some volunteers that want to start in their elementary, not in elementary schools, but in their schools in that area. So we'll be training them in the future this year for the rest of the school year and going down there. Possibly they're saying once a month to go into their schools down there and helping them. So you pray for us about that. It's about a little over four hours drive from Boone, so be in prayer about that, that we can help them. But if you got your Bibles this morning, I've got jumbled up, but I pray that God just straighten this all out and give us what we need this morning. The main part of the text that I'm going to be using this morning is in Hebrews chapter number 6. If you would please just, if you got your Bibles, turn there. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And I'm just going to read this opening. I'm going to be going several places in the Bible dealing with this thing of perfection. And then we'll just be on our way this afternoon. But chapter 6 and verse 1, I'm going to read this and then we're going to pray. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've given us today. And Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity, Father, and thank you for what you put on my heart for today. Lord, I pray that the words be guided by you and not by my flesh. But Father, I pray that your thoughts be conveyed through my lips. And Lord, that it fall on open ears and softened hearts. Lord, to help us today. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all your blessings. Father, we thank you for saving us, those that are saved here. I'm thankful for the plan of salvation. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was looking over the scriptures this morning, God laid something on my heart, but it went along with this. Let us go on unto perfection. Now, I realize that on this side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect. Christ was the only one that was. We can only do our best to get to that place, but once we get to heaven, those of you that are saved here, we will be perfect. And we'll be glorified and we'll be transformed into that perfect thing that God would have us to be through salvation. But as we look at this here, the thing that I saw that got my eye the most in this scripture here was that go on unto. That's where we're at right now. We're going on unto that perfection that we'll receive one day. You know, we can't be perfect here on earth. We can be clean and washed in the blood in God's eyes through salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we're going on unto. And as I was looking at this, going on unto that perfection, I started thinking about most of us can relate to having a project started. I mean, I've got little things that I wanted to do, and I've got a to-do list and a project list of things that I need to do, and it starts. Some projects have been started, and you know, you get through those, and I think, guys, maybe I can just relate to us. I know we have a lot of projects going on, and we might start on something and look at this project and think, you know, one of these days I need to finish this project. I've started it, but I've not finished it yet. I need to get back on that and finish this and have it the way that I visioned it in my mind. But these things take time. To continue to finish that project, if you ever get back to it and you're able to finish that project that you've started on it, and ladies, I know you've got your projects too, but I can't relate to them. So I know my wife has got many that she says, I need to finish that. I need to get to that. But it's not just for the guys, but if you ever get back to that project and you finish it, you might say and look at it and say, it's perfect. It's just the way I envisioned it. As we're going on unto that perfection in our lives and our Christian walk and our Christian faith, I looked up that word perfection, and it just meant full growth and the state of completeness. It's only mentioned two times in the Bible, but as we look at our scripture here to bring it into context here in Hebrews, Paul's telling the Hebrews that Jesus, he's not walking with us right now on this earth in the flesh, okay? But we've got his word, and with that, it's for that teaching and that learning and that growth, that going on unto that perfection, what we should be doing. Let us go on unto perfection and live with what he taught us. Let's do what he taught us. So as we look at it going on unto this perfection, I just had one thing that I wanted to bring out that really stood out to me in the scriptures today in another chapter of the New Testament. But whenever I started looking at these projects, I started looking at these foundations of things that are built upon, things that are going on to that perfection. And it brought to my mind one place that I had seen previously. It was a place over in Ashe County, and I cannot tell you exactly where it is right now, but it was this foundation of this house that was started, but it was never finished. And I thought about that house just being stopped. It's kind of like, I know that there are many out there that are saved, but they say, now what? Now what am I supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to go on unto perfection. We're supposed to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. But with that foundation that I saw, every time we drove by, I mean, it had the foundation laid. They started up with the cement, the cinder blocks, and it looked like it was going to be something, but it never got manifested in anything else. And it, as I looked at this foundation and these cinder blocks there, every time we went by this place, this what I thought was going to be a home, I thought about how sad it was that it never got completed, that it never got unto that perfect point where somebody had envisioned that thing. And I think about our Christian lives, you know, we've got that foundation, we've got that salvation in Jesus Christ, we're saved, but then we never go on unto where we're going to end up one day in heaven if you're saved here today. We're supposed to continue to build on upon that foundation throughout our lives, that going on unto that perfection, that building on unto that. As far as I know, that place never got done. And I looked at it and I said, how sad is that to think about that? But as our Christian walk, I wonder if God didn't look at us sometimes that way. Are we just saved and that's good enough for us and we're never building upon that, going on unto that perfection? Or are we willing to grow and willing to do everything we can to please our Lord and Savior and grow in his spirit that he's indwelled within us if you're saved today, and go on unto, build on that perfection, build on unto that perfection that we're going to have one day? But it made me sad, and I thought about, you know, a lot of things I relate in life, I relate to what God would see upon us, you know, a stagnant Christian makes them sad. One that's not willing to grow makes the Lord sad. But he wants us to grow in that going on unto perfection in our lives, being his word, being in prayer, and just practicing what's in his word in our everyday lives. That's one of the things that I think is the hardest for us, is going from the church to the world and then trying to profess our faith, trying to act as Christian as we can to the world outside of these church doors. It's easy to do in here because everybody's like-minded. But when we get out there, we should still be building upon going unto that perfection no matter where we are. And sometimes that's hard for us. Now, where I want to go here, and where God had me in my devotional reading, was in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And as Paul had written the 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church, it goes on in the second book of Corinthians, and he starts off in chapter 10. And like I said, this is just one thing that stood out to me that I'm going to bring to you today, what God's put on my heart, going on unto that perfection, building upon that faith in Jesus Christ that we have to be pleasing unto the Lord. Now I, Paul, in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, as Paul is writing this letter here, just to kind of bring this into perspective where we can grab a hold of it, what God showed me out of this was that Paul was in meekness and gentleness in all things, in Jesus Christ. And there were some that looked upon Paul upon his appearance, he wasn't as comely as a lot of people. He may not have that beautifulness about him that a lot of people had. I saw something that they wrote about Paul and said that he was not a comely person. I'm trying to think of the word that I had this morning, but he didn't present himself quite well as far as his looks went. People looked down upon that. He was a little bit different. The way that they looked at him, he was not as adoring as some of those priests and those that were following the law, adorned in their robes, cleanly washed, probably smelled good, and may have been very, very smart. Paul, very smart in Christ, but not of the things of the world. And people looked down on him for that because he says, I was base among you. When I looked up that word, it just meant that he was not as comely as a lot of people were, and people did not see him, didn't take him seriously, thought him was a nobody. But as I read my Bible, and I preached a message not too many weeks ago, it was probably just a couple weeks ago, about even those that are more feeble are needed. And when I thought about that and studied that scripture out and was looking at that, it means that as Christians, you know, sometimes folks, I look at people and I don't treat them. I treated people different by the way they looked, if that makes sense, okay? Some people you just kind of want to stay away from a little bit, and then some people you just want to cling up to and get next to them, you know, and be with them. And that scripture that spoke to me that even those that are more feeble are needed, it means that if they're saved, that God's got a purpose for them. And me, myself, I had to get past the outward appearance of people and look upon what Christ has given them, that they are useful in all things. But they were looking at Paul and saying, you know, we're not going to listen to you, man. You don't look as nice. Look at your clothes. When was the last time you bathed, man? They're looking at him like this, and they treated him different. But what I saw in verse 10 going unto that perfection, one of the things I saw with Paul was that he said, being absent, I'm more bold towards you. He was writing a letter to the church, and he started talking about being bold towards you as I was writing this letter. But he says, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. He says, I want to be, as it says in verse 1, meekness and gentleness in Christ. I want to come to you with that. And the Lord showed me something in the scripture this morning that really stood out to me, that even Paul in his day was dealing with something that we deal with every day now. And that's in some type of messaging or conversations that we have with each other when we're not present with that person. Now, years ago, we teach a lesson in the schools about etiquette, and it brings in Miss Manners, and those of you that have wisdom, I'll say that, can remember Miss Manners. Judith Martin was her name, and what she teaches manners and etiquette. And with this, she said, with the way that we are advancing in technology, she said a lot of people are just, they're not talking as much, but they're messaging each other through some type of social platform, whatever you want to call it. And there's so many of them out there, I can't even keep up with them anymore. But whether it be like Facebook Messenger or just texting or emailing, that it's a lot easier to be bold or rude or assertive towards somebody through some type of messaging than it is to be with them in person. Even Paul said, that last letter I wrote to you, that was with boldness. But I thought about the way that we converse with one another. Paul even said, you know, I hope when I see you face to face, I just come to you with that gentle meekness that Jesus Christ had. But he said, whenever I write a letter, it comes out a little bit different. Church class, listen to me. I'm used to being in school all the time, forgive me. Whenever we're looking at this, we should season our conversations, wherever it might be, through what type of social media it is. Season it with grace. I had Miss Sharon, she was reading over something I wrote to somebody one day. Usually if it's a female, I say, can you read over this and make sure it comes across as you would talk to another woman? Because I know how I would talk to a guy, but I said, here's what I want. I need it seasoned with grace, with my messaging. And I'll read over texts and I'll read over messages before I ever send them and asking God's help with it. Do you do that? Or do you just kind of, boom, you know, I can't believe they said that. That's what Paul's dealing with here. He's like, I've heard the rumors, I've heard the gossip, okay, how they're talking about me, because I'm not, they were gossiping. In today's society, we message. But whenever we do this, church, it needs to be seasoned with grace with all things, so that they can see that light of Christ in us, even through our messaging, whatever it might be. Read over that thing. Ask the Lord to help you with it. Lord, is this acceptable? And I've had the Lord just change wording and help me with words, because I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I'm not. I think ChatGTP and these things that are coming out now, for me, they're a blessing. I can write things in there and it just make it sound so beautiful. And I'm like, I love that. Absolutely, that's a lot better words than what I had. Now, it's still my thought, but it makes it sound more eloquent. And seasoned with grace towards the reader. We have to look at things the way somebody else would read it. You know, we're not supposed to slam people. We're not supposed to cut them down. That's not Christ-like actions or words. But with that, we need to season our conversation with grace, no matter what platform it is. But I noticed that even with Miss Manners, Judith Martin, she realized that it's a lot easier to cut somebody down to be assertive with our speech if it's through messaging than it is in person. And I know that you've experienced this, because how many times have you ever thought what you're going to say to somebody? When I get up in their face, I'm going to let them have it. Here's what I'm going to tell them. But whenever you get with that person, you're like, that's a real human being. I can't say what I was going to say. I need to, because the Lord intervenes with Christians and lets us know this is the heart and soul of somebody real. You need to show my love and compassion towards them. But Paul's saying here, I had that boldness. We think about it now where we're, you know, putting stuff over social media, social messaging, I should say, not social media, but social messaging. And through this, our conversations may come out real bold. But Paul says, even here, how many thousand years ago we're looking at this? And he said, you know what? I came to you bold before. When I'm with you, I hope to come with that gentleness and meekness of Christ. But Paul said here, he said, there are those of you that said we're walking after the flesh. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after that flesh. I used to have this t-shirt. It was one of my favorite ones. And if you've, early in my preaching, I know I've mentioned this before, probably here at the church. It had this little guy on it that had his hat on sideways, a big old cross around his neck, and big old baggy clothes. And if you old enough, you can remember that era when people wore things like that. But he said, this place ain't my home, just passing through. Going to a, and he said, M-O, better place. And that was what was on that shirt. And I love that shirt because, you know, that's what we're in this world, but we don't have to be part of everything that's going on in the world. Paul's telling them, you're going to be dealing with this. You're going to be dealing with this. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh or the things of this world. He says, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. He said, even though we walk on this earth and even though we walk in this flesh, he said, our thoughts ought to be about our Lord and Savior. He said, but the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not worldly, they're mighty through God. And church, that's the only way we can get through things. If we go about things in the flesh or about worldly things, we'll be swayed by the world and persuaded by the world. Somebody once said, you are, you will become who your friends are. Now, I think about that, how much time we spend in church and how much time we are out in public and out in the world. And it's easy to be swayed. You're going to be swayed by that you're influenced by, that you're around a lot longer. Paul says, though we walk after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's a lot right here in this little bit of scripture. It's real easy to get caught up in everything out in the world. I think we'll either serve the world or serve our Lord and Savior, one of the two. I pray that our influence is more from the Savior throughout our day than it is of the world. But whenever it gets to this casting down imaginations and every high thing, this scripture has been mentioned a couple times before in church, I know, here out of this pulpit. But this is where I was in my devotional reading, and it got me to studying and looking at this scripture. Spent a couple days in here just looking at this and looking up some words and things like that. And these imaginations are reasoning that is hostile to the Christian faith. That's what that word imaginations means. And as I looked at that, it said our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons ought to be spiritual. They shouldn't be fleshly and they shouldn't be worldly. They shouldn't be us acting out. But our weapons of our warfare should be spiritual. Now in Ephesians 6, 12 through 18, it gives that weapons of our warfare that we should have. Because it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. When it's talking about imaginations in the book of 2 Corinthians, we're looking at these things that are attacking us. It's the devil that's causing all this problem, Satan, and it's attacking our flesh. But we need to put on that whole, what is called the armor of God, because we wrestle not against that flesh and blood, but against that principalities, the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take on that whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. And of course, it goes about with, have your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Those are the weapons that we should have each and every day with us. That time that we spend with the Lord, the time that we spend in prayer, the time that we spend just gleaning on the things of the Lord to help us with the influences of the world. Because we can be swayed by the world. We're out in it, what, 90% of the time? But the Bible says back in 2 Corinthians, that we should cast down all these imaginations of every high thing that exalteth itself against that knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we'll finish this up here in just a little bit. We'll get to the end of this. But the imaginations, that reasoning that's hostile to the Christian faith, it can be the influences of the world. It can be the way that we think. It can be the way that things go through our minds and what we dwell on. The older I get, the more my mind tends to just wander and imagine things. I don't know why. It's just weird the way it does. And I've had to stop, church, and ask the Lord, Lord, help me with these things that are going into my mind. These are things that I'm imagining, the things that I'm thinking of. And I'm not talking about deep sin. I'm not talking about that. These things can creep into our minds, but I'm talking about just things that success, money, popularity. These are hostile things to the Christian faith. I realize that we do need to make money, okay? But when we're talking about going against what the Lord would have us to do, Jesus Christ came with all meekness and humbleness. He wasn't all puffed up when he went to the cross. He was submissive to the will of God in his life. He was going to put himself on the cross because he could have gotten off of it. But he chose to be humble and meek and lowly for us, casting down these imaginations and every high thing, these things that come into our minds that can steer us away from the things of the Lord. Well, Lord, everybody's doing this. Is it the way to go? These are imaginations. Is this what we need to be transforming into? Maybe the old paths have gone away and this is the new way, you know? But God is true. God is faithful. His word still stands and it still works today. It amazed me that God showed me that even though Paul was in his boldness in writing a letter that, like I said, we can do the same thing with social messaging, whatever it might be. These things, these imaginations, these things, they can get a hold of us and take over. I started praying more. Lord, help my thoughts get back on track. These things that are wasting my brain space and wasting my time and causing me to even forget what I'm trying to do, get me off task, that I need to submit my mind back to the Lord. Only God can do that. Because Satan will fill our minds with imaginations. Maybe it's better this way. Maybe now 2025, new year, maybe this is the way that I should change in my life to fit in with those. No. We fit in with God's plan. And that's the way we need to be. We don't need to go the ways of the world. We don't need to start imagining maybe I should change this or change this to fit in with the world better. No. We're designed through salvation to be that salt and that light. That we should do that. Don't imagine that you need to change yourself to fit in with the world. All right? If anything, pray, Lord, help me to get my thoughts back where they need to be. You're true, you're faithful, you're just. Things haven't changed with you. But casting down these imaginations, well, we can only do that to the pulling down of the strongholds. They have to be spiritual. But it says, casting down these imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's been my prayer here lately. Lord, keep my mind from fleeting from these imaginations that I have, and bring it back to you. Now, a lot of people says, well, I don't want to have obedience to anything. You're going to serve something in your life. You're either going to serve the world, you're going to serve Satan, or you're going to serve God. One of the, you know, it's one of the two there. And I believe Satan is in the world through, oh golly, there's so many things. That popularity, the wealth, being ruler over something, being in high places. I'm trying to think of upper management. I know we need these people, but I'm saying not to be obedient to those things of the world. Christ and God did use many wonderful kings and princes and wonderful people throughout the Bible. We see that. But when we start to use that as our God, we're taking it the wrong way. We need to put all of our obedience, bring it into captivity to Christ. We need to obey what he says and what we read in his word. But a lot of people don't want to be, they don't want to be ruled by anything. And, you know, we have that, but we're going to, like I said, give our allegiance to something. And it reminded me of so many things that, y'all know I have dogs, and Ms. Conrad and I have dogs, Ms. Sharon and I. Church, it never fails. You know how animals are, and even, you know, we may send them to obedience school, and they may learn to do things and learn to not do things to obey. And church, I'm not saying we're dogs. Don't get me wrong. But if you've got a pet, I can relate to so many things, God with us versus me with these animals, okay? Because, and I've told Miss Sharon, and she's heard me say it before, Max, I want to love on you, but you're such an idiot sometimes. I can't love him and praise him and give him the treats and just because he's always doing dumb things and I'm always having to command him to do, not do it. Max 9, out. I tell him, get, go. We're going here. We're going there. And I said, I told him one day, I was in the shop yesterday and I was breaking down some boxes for Miss Sharon in her garden. And I said, man, I want to love on you so bad if you just listen to me. And church almost started crying. The Lord showed me what wonderful things he wants to do for us. If we just bring all of our thoughts, all of our actions in obedience to him. And I think the Lord, we prayed over these dogs before we got them, or prayed to have these, and he gave us the perfect ones, but I think he did it to increase my faith, increase my obedience, because it seems like every time I have to fuss at them, scold them, tell them to do something, I want to love on you, but I can't right now because I'm scolding you. You've done something wrong. If you just listen, and if you just obey me, I'll love on you. I'll give you all the cookies you want. I'll praise you. I'll scratch your belly when you roll over. And church, it just reminded me how much God wants to do for us if we just be obedient to him. If we just follow his word, if we season our messages with grace, if we just act like he would like us to whenever we're out in public. Church, I've met people before and talked to them out in public and spent time with them and find out 2 or 3 years down the road that they're a Christian, and it's like, I never knew, because they didn't have that in their daily walk, their daily words, their daily actions. But it was like, I never knew you went to church down here. I never knew you were saved. I never saw it. But we need to be that out in the public, to show that, work in somewhere that, thank you, Lord, it's just a blessing. You know, let me tell you how the Lord blessed me. Let me show you what the Lord did for me, whatever it might be. But with that obedience, church, I just saw how much God wants to give us, how much he wants to love on us, how much he wants to increase us, and guide us each and every day. But sometimes it's like me with Max. Dude, you just messed up again. And not give us that. So it just blesses my heart every single day that I need to try to obey God more, try to stay in his word more, or try to cast down these imaginations, not by myself, but through the Spirit, by praying. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I can't do it in the flesh. Because Satan a lot of times will put these thoughts in our head. I can't tell you how many times things have popped in my head about the past, the wrongdoings that I've done in the past. I mean, years and years, like 20 years ago, all of a sudden it'll pop into my mind. I never thought about it before. And I just have to tell old Satan, it's under the blood, it's done. God's forgiven me for that, and I've asked for forgiveness. But bring into captivity every thought, and have it obedient to Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, with this, we have to be on guard. Because when we are obedient, there's that disobedience that can creep in there. Just always be on guard for that. Now, as we look at this, make sure I'm done with that part right there. I'm going back over to the book of Hebrews just for a minute. The Hebrews chapter 6. When I was talking about getting that praise and that help and that blessing from the Lord that only he can give, down in verse 7 of chapter number 6 in Hebrews, the opening to that chapter, going on into perfection, just with that praise that I was talking about just a few minutes ago and how God looks at us, just a confirmation on that. Verse 7 says, "For the earth with drinketh in the rain that often come upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God." Now, when we're looking at this, the word of God, his instruction, his things, they can fall on hard ground. And we know that whenever it rains on hard ground, it just rolls off. It does no good. The plants can't even take it in. But it has to rain on it little by little by little by little, time and time and time again. And then those plants can take it in and grow. And as I was looking at this and going on to perfection, just with a little bit that I brought there out of 2 Corinthians, but also the confirmation and the blessings we can get from God through obedience. It says, as the earth, when it does drink up this water, the herbs grow. Now, I know that there's several in here that can relate to what I'm about to say when you get rained on from the Lord. I think about it often after reading this scripture is in you're doing your morning Bible study. Okay, you may do it at night. I have to do mine in the morning because at night I'm tired, I'm ready for bed. But in the mornings when I do my scripture reading to start off my day, he that seeks me shall find me. I believe in that scripture there because it sets the pace for the rest of your day to get in your scripture early in the morning. Now, I don't want to tell you how early I have to get up to do that before school, but it's early. But I make sure I do it because it sets the tone for the day. But when I do that, and the Lord just blesses me with a nugget, if you want to call it that, or a thought, or that scripture that day, to me, that's that rain from heaven. The Lord's looked down upon me, and he's like, I'm going to hang on, here it comes, and I'm going to rain it down on you. And many of you in here can relate to what I'm saying because you've read your scripture and you're like, man, that's good. I've never seen that before. I've never read it like that before. God just showed it to me. He just rained down on you. He gave you that rain. But now he expects something of us because as that rain cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs meant for them who it is dressed. They receive blessings from God. So that dressing is a little bit of maintenance in there from us. All right? But when God rains on us and shows us something, and we use it in our lives, we dress it. What I mean, maintain it. Use it throughout our day, whatever it might be. We get blessings from God. It just goes along with that obedience. And with that, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But the opposite is this. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. There's a downside of that too. I want to get the blessings from God. I want to be that herb that can be fragrant, useful, and I hope you do too. Each and every day. And can I tell you, if you're saved here today, God's got a purpose for you. You may not know what it is, but wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, God's got a purpose for you. Even those that are feeble are needed. But as I wrap this up today, I wanted to bring you one piece of scripture out of Romans 12:2. Be ye not conformed to this world, moving on unto perfection, moving on unto the main thing, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul even said in the book of Hebrews here, see if I can find it real quick, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. Church, even those people that have been saved many, 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 many years ago, they could still need a renewing. They could be so caught up in just, oh, I'm just saved, I'm going to church, I'm doing this, I'm just, sometimes they need a renewing. That verse in Romans says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those imaginations. I'm asking for a renewing because I'm tired of my mind wandering everywhere. And these thoughts creeping in there and going in there, I'm tired of it. And I'm asking, but I can't do it myself because the weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual and mighty through the pulling down of strongholds through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable, perfect will of God in our lives. That's the way to find out. I said y'all are useful, each and every one of you, for if you're saved, God's got a purpose for you. But sometimes we need to have a little transformation, a little renewing. When we renew something, it takes something that may be old, tarnished, squeaky, rusty, and just bringing it back to that original, or I even think sometimes better condition than what it was. You know, back the way it was when it was designed. God saved us, and then all of a sudden we may just get stagnant. Sometimes we need that renewal, that brushing up, that transformation. And I think a lot of times we can do this just through casting out those imaginations through the power of Christ, not through our flesh, so that we can find out what that perfect will of God is for our lives. Church, let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that everything that came through my lips, Lord, was understandable through your Spirit to those ears that it fell on. Father, I pray that you help me just become that you'd have me to be, that we can find that perfect will each and every day. And Lord, just have us to be what you'd have us to be through your Spirit, Lord, not through things of the world. Father, I pray that your word influences more than anything else. In your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you guide and direct us daily. And Lord, I thank you so much for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, without it, we could not make it. There's no way we could find your will. And Lord, I thank you so much for that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would just help us each and every day, Lord, to say the words that we need to say to glorify you.